Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. You can listen to our Warn Radio episodes on danaglennsmith.com and warn-usa.com. Warn Radio is on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music and Podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Cast. And do not miss the featured posts this week of our in-depth biblical articles and radio shows, featured on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com, Thy Many Gods, Who Shall Save You? And The Land of Shadows, featured on danaglennsmith.com, Perilous Living, Best and Worst of Times, Faultless to Stand Before the Lamb, Steal the Darkness, Christian Fiction Release, America, If Thy Foundations Be Destroyed, featured on warn-usa.com, No Other Gospel, The Rise of Islam and the Fall of the West, Faith, Persecuted, Love of God, Faith Life Journey, Christian Faith Persecution, Classic Warn Radio, Nations Drunk on Wine of the Harlot. And don't miss these WIVR Warn Radio weekly shows on Wednesday's Advocacy from April 3rd, Agape, Benevolent Love, Times of Trouble, Rebuilding Lives, Gospel is Real, Advocacy. Thursday's Battle Lines from April 4th, Days of Old, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 212. Friday's Sound the Shofar from April 5th, The Word of the Lord, Nations, Promises, Phrases, and Perpetuity, Part 12. Be sure to get your copy of The Rising. It's a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman Dana G. Smith, a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, and the love of two people set amidst the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Hidden within the storyline of The Rising is the truth of what's happening in America now. Check out The Rising. When he who opposes rises, believers overcome by faith. And you can get your copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart, Angus & Robertson. The Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. You can also get your copy of The Rising by going to danaglennsmith.com. Visit our Christian Books and Resource Shop, where we feature The Rising and other Christian books, as well as resources from our Vision Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings. Welcome. Have you checked the calendar? How about the time? Do you know the day of the week? Well, you know, this is spring over here, and the signs are everywhere, and we like it. But the signs of a lawless generation, I should say plural, generations, is also taking its toll. Many people call Joe Biden one of the worst presidents on the face of this earth. Now, I've said this before. I knew what Biden was doing. I knew that Biden was going to be elected. I knew it way ahead of time. I knew why. I knew what he was bringing in and going to do. And so I made up my mind, as I've said before, that pretty much anything he does, I'm not going to like. Well, that stayed true to form. And while he may be the worst president on the face of this earth, he's managed to do what most of the Democrats wanted to do all along. And Joe Biden is considered, you know, someone that is not fit for office, but yet he got the job done. And he did a good job at being bad. And so now we have multiple millions of illegals in here, millions more that want to come in. We have cities that are overrun, and their mayors now want to get rid of them. You know, the Democrats should have thought of this before they decided to flood America and ruin everything. In addition, we also found out that the Democrats were getting rid of the electoral system, which was set in place a long time ago. And the reason they're doing that is because they can't win the electoral system, the electoral college. Not the way they are now. And so they're hoping with numbers they can take the presidency, and they plan on using a bunch of the illegals. However, in some of these towns, the illegals are such a burden, they don't know what to do. So they don't want to get rid of them because they want them to vote for an agenda that the Democrats want to bring in, but if they let them go, their cities are falling apart. And of course, and with that, money goes out. With that, good companies leave. And I'm trying to think of the restaurant chain I just seen yesterday. And it's a little unusual chain, but it's been around for a long time. They are closing down. They had at one time 1,000 stores. And so they must be heavily populated in California. And I just seen it yesterday. So there goes another one in California. And it's beyond me how these Democrats keep the same guys in and continue to destroy everything. Just like when you look at what happened with Venezuela, nobody could get rid of the people. And the presidents that were doing this finished the job, destroyed the country and the cities. I mean, go figure. Makes you wonder. You know, just how stupid people are. You know. And like in America, why would you ruin a country? And matter of fact, speaking of ruin, long time ago, Barack Obama was one of them. I think Clinton was the other one, I'm not sure. And in the Mall of America, it was filled with Somalis. I don't know what they were doing in there, but the security guards were running around trying to stop something. And these Somalis, I mean, it looked like a freaking riot. And there were hundreds of them. They were everywhere. And they were young Somalis, male, female. So what were they doing? I don't know. Meanwhile, in Minnesota, no, that was Minnesota, Michigan, the Muslims were getting together and chanting death to America there. By the way, Ilhan Omar, I think it is a Somali. And she got elected to Congress. Actually, you know, when she first came in, she admitted to giving people money to vote for her. Where'd she get the money? Probably Soros. And of course, Ilhan Omar trained with terrorists in Somalia. These are the people that the Democrats want to let in. And they did. Here, America is being destroyed. It's being overrun. And it's being carried away. You're losing your America, and in another 5 years, it won't even be here. Unless someone changes it. So that's why people want Trump in. Because he did a good job the last time. But you see, the Democrats are plotting to stop him by using these corrupt judges and the legal system in New York City. When you get into Washington, D.C., for instance, and you go to trial there, you're going to be found guilty, more than likely. Especially if you're somebody political and they want to get rid of. If you are in New York, the same thing applies. Georgia has tried that, and they're having a little more difficulty. But the people of Georgia aren't like that. Matter of fact, when you look at some of the Trump rallies, he's got everybody on his side. Inner city blacks, you know, inner city gangs, the black gangs. I mean, a lot of them. They want Trump. Because they, you know, and, you know, when Trump was in there before, he actually worked to help the blacks in the inner city. Now see, today's blacks, which have more money than the inner city blacks, they're doing a little bit better. They've been to college. And of course, black colleges were free, while the Caucasians had to pay for theirs. This country has done more to establish blacks and Mexicans, Hispanics, and everybody else in this country, while at the same time dissing the Caucasians and everybody else. Well, I'll tell you, there are a lot of Caucasians in the world, and the blacks seem to think that the world would be better off without whites. The big issue we have here is that the sin is not in the skin. The sin is that which is within. And what this represents is a society that is lawless, cold, jealous, hateful. Many are murderers, many are thugs. a flood of them are liars. And I'm not calling it all blacks either, because they're not just black. Because we've got white kids in there, we've got black kids, we've got every color under the rainbow in there. We have every kind of corrupt thing going on that you could think of in this country. Nobody wants to call it corruption. Nobody wants to call it sin. Everybody wants to have friends with sin. But the issue you have here is that God judges the nations that are full of sin. And so that's where we're at today. Judah got entirely carried away. And you can just hear him say, well, they were Jews. And the Jews deserved to be carried away. Well, you know, the problem with Jews is very simple. God chose them. Their election. And Paul speaks of the election of grace in Romans 11. He says, God has not cast away the Jews. He's going to save them. He's going to make a way for them. Now, if you're looking for a fight in the world, and you see what's going on, Israel has their hands full. But the fact of it is the Jews and Israel aren't going anywhere. They're in prophecy. There's going to be a temple. And they will restart the sacrifices. And they all are also going to be experiencing other things that we know from Revelation that John wrote. America, however, has no such guarantee. America could be carried away, or in this case, washed away. The identity of America can be washed away just the way that you in the springtime or summertime wash off your driveway going into your garage. You wash it off, you get rid of all the dirt, the gravel and everything else, and it's all gone. So is America just like that. And the major culprits have been sin. Another major culprit has been the Democrat Party. The Democrats are working to overthrow Trump, trying to get him in jail. Even our own Liz Cheney celebrates everything that goes wrong for Trump. She's as corrupt as her dad is. After all, he was one of the authors and those who pushed the PNAC, Project for a New American Century. That PNAC document is the thing that got us into war. Over in Iraq, over in Afghanistan, and other places. Think about these things. We're done with this segment. This week, the word of the Lord to the nations. Spirit and life. This is part 13 of our Word of the Lord series. And we've been looking at phrases of late that the Lord spoke, and we've been discussing those. So this week, Spirit and Life meets head-on with those who refuse to believe who the Messiah is, and the testimony of the truth given by the apostles themselves. The issues while dealing with life and death is one of understanding and believing in the truth. For many, that's a difficult thing. While the apostles and those Jews who witnessed Jesus Christ, Yahshua, personally, and what he did and believed, this includes the temple priests, Sanhedrin, and others of the temple. See, you got two groups here. There were those that he, and John lays this out in the first part of John, chapter 1. He went to his own Jewish people. And they received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not by the will of the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. For you must be born again of the Spirit, the Lord told people in John 3. So it's interesting. That when you look at it. That we find these things that tell people this is how you can get saved. And of course, Nicodemus is one of the well-known figures here, played an important part in all this. And there were others in the Sanhedrin that believed, but they didn't do much because they didn't want to cause trouble. They could have been cast out of the temple, and then they'd have been in trouble. See, because through all of this, the biggest enemy was the religious portion of the Jews. Now, the people on the streets, the people that he healed and delivered, they knew. And they believed. Paul, who was there at the stoning of Stephen, witnessed the death of Stephen, even consented because he didn't object to it, yet he came to know the Lord and the truth, became one of the greatest apostles we've had, apostle to the Gentiles. So when we talk about spirit and life, when we talk about believing and religion, it can be a mess. And then when you throw in the mix the jihad by all the Muslims, you've got a dangerous situation. Now, we report on the persecution of the church every week on a Wednesday. And so Joe Biden has kept the border open, and I can guarantee you beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've got some of those fellas in here. And when you have a group of Muslims over in Michigan shouting death to America in our own country, when you have the inner city that's totally been taken over by blacks and others that steal from stores instead of paying for them, when you're as quick to pull the trigger and cause murder and bloodshed, that doesn't mean anything good for the country. So when we're dealing with spirit and life here today, you've got a lot of spirits, but you don't have life. The only spirit that is the spirit of life and spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. The only Savior is the Son of God, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And the only Father there is not some remote God, but it's Yahweh, Jehovah. Or as Yeshua told us, our Father in heaven. And it's kind of interesting to know that the Jews knew of the Messiah. They knew where he was to come from. They were expecting him, yet when he showed up, they didn't recognize him, and there was also a judgment out of Isaiah to this effect. And simply put, if we go into John 8, 20 through 25, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Now you see, they wanted to lay their hands on him, and in Scripture it records that. Some of the temple guards came back, and they were asked, "Where is he? Did you get him?" And they said, "No man ever spake like this man spake," so they left him alone. There were others that tried to, you know, stone him and do things, but he passed right through him because his hour had not yet come. Now, the reason they couldn't touch him is because he had protection. And see, when it was time to go to the cross, he submitted to the darkness because it was the time of darkness. So these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." Now, the funny thing here is the Jews says, will he kill himself? Because he saith, "Whither I go, you cannot come." Leave it to the Jews at that time, because these people were blinded. They were not about to do anything. They were convinced that he was not the Messiah because he is from Galilee. But see, what they didn't do is research. If they would have asked him and his mother, they would have told him he came from Bethlehem. And the king was killing all the babies then. So the angel of the Lord told Joseph to take the family and go to Egypt and stay there until I tell you that it's okay. And there came a day the angel told him, "Okay, go on back. Those who sought the babe's life is dead now." So they went back. The truth was looking them in the eyes, and they didn't look beyond their own bias. But they're going to regret that. America is going to regret what she's doing. But see, America has been lawless for a lot longer than just recently. Tower and I have been warning for 25 years in this end time ministry. We were called specially to an end time ministry of warning over the internet to get the word worldwide. I'm not trying to get this word to America. America's always already rejected it. Now, we have listeners in America. They know what we're talking about. And at the same time we're trying to reach people around the world, we're also trying to warn America. But we're getting the gospel around. That's the whole point. So Jesus, in this little meeting, he just flat told them, I go my way and you're going to seek me, but you're going to die in your sins because where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews, as brilliant as they were at the time, will he kill himself? Yeah, well, that's the only thing you can think of, you know. You know, because, of course, we're Jews, we're in the temple, you know. We're part of the Sanhedrin. We're Pharisees. And we know the temple priests. We know all the people there. We're important people. What does he mean we can't go with him? We can go anywhere. No, you can't. You're not going to be saved because you're a Jew. You're going to be saved because you know the Jew who is the Savior, the Son of God. He's the one that came into the womb of Mary. And I got news for you. Whether the scholars believe this or not, he was fully cognizant of who he was the whole time, throughout childhood. And I could tell you a few other things about how his relationship was with his own family. But then the Lord says further, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. He said it twice. Because they had a trouble believing who he said he was. And that's the issue. They didn't receive him. And the issue in the end of days is going to come back to the Jews. They're going to be in the land, they're going to be in Jerusalem, and they're going to find out that this one who died on the cross was Yahshua, the Messiah to come. But he's not coming as the Messiah. He's already done that. He's coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is listed as the Almighty in Revelation chapter 1. The Father gave him all power and authority. Then they said unto him, Who art thou? Jesus saying to them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Because he told him twice, You're going to die in your sins if you don't believe. And there's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So these people were convicted. They were bothered because they ask him again. They ask him, Who are you? Will you kill yourself? That's the only way we couldn't go where you're going. You're walking all over Judea and Samaria, Galilee. What do you mean we can't go with you? We can follow you. We've been following you. What do you mean? Well, he didn't deal with that part. He just told him, I go my way and you're going to seek me. And he's talking of a future time. And you're going to die in your sins because where I'm going, you cannot come. Nobody can come. Gentiles can't come. You don't go to heaven because you're a Gentile. You go to heaven because of Yahshua died on the cross for your sins and you believed and received him. And you are a child of God now by the grace of God because of that spiritual circumcision that God does when he's received you, when you believe upon him. Because as it says of Abraham, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. The very thing that happens to Christians or anybody, actually before they're Christians, when they're a heathen, they believe, they receive the Lord, and God imputes unto them righteousness and sonship. And it's up to you to stay that way, to walk in the light as he is in the light. You'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Read 1 John chapter 1. So in this segment, the six words of death the Lord told the unbelieving Jews about himself: you shall die in your sins. To Americans today, to illegals, to every person, I don't care whether you're Muslim, not a Muslim, I don't care whether you're Seventh-day Adventist, I don't care where you're, whether you're Mormon, I don't care what you are or who you are or what you think you are, you will die in your sins unless you believe in Yahshua Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, the Messiah, who is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Almighty. You will die in your sins. Those are the six words of death that the Lord outlined you need to understand. But see, he didn't leave you there, because there's two words of life, and those are simply, I believe. And there's another action following that, obedience. Well, I don't believe that. What I say to you, you better. Because you will believe. If you don't believe in this life, you will believe when you wind up in Hades and you see who is sitting on the throne. There are no atheists and agnostics in hell. There are a lot of regretful sinners down there who didn't believe. But now they believe, but it's too late because they're in judgment. But see, Christ didn't die on the cross to send you to hell. He died on the cross to save you from hell. Hell is for the devil and his angels. It's not for you. Why do you think Christ came to die on the cross for your sins? And all these Muslims committing jihad and thinking they're going to find 70 virgins in paradise, there's a whole lot of them down there that they don't like where they're at. They followed a lie. The one thing the Lord said when he was telling the apostles, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. One of the first things he emphasized: be not deceived. Many shall come in my name and say, I am he. And over the years, I've actually tracked some of these people. They were showing up here not too long ago. I mean, a number of years ago. They were everywhere. And then they kind of disappeared. Because the one thing you need to understand, that when the Lord speaks, His words are spirit and life. In John 6, there's a number of verses starting at 53. And this is classic. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And matter of fact, the apostles did see him go in a cloud up into heaven where he had come from. And the angels standing there told the apostles, This same Jesus, as you have seen him go, shall so come in like manner. Again, he's coming again in like manner in the clouds of the sky. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, he says. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He is the bread of life. How do you drink his blood and how do you eat his flesh? It's very simple. You believe on him. You eat. You partake of his doctrine. What he is teaching, you eat it. You believe that he died on the cross for your sins. That is drinking literally the blood of Christ. And matter of fact, the Catholics do this when they do communion. Even the Lord said, you know, when he did communion and they were eating the bread, this bread is my body which is broken for you. This wine is my blood that was shed for you. But you see, the devil, when they have their little coup d'etat type meetings, and in my time I have interviewed redeemed witches who God saved, and they repented of all the dark things, and they would tell you, back then, if you had a baby and you got him out on the table and you killed him out on the table, that's murder. But if you left him in the womb and killed him in the womb, that wasn't murder. That was the difference. So that's how the Satanists sacrificed the baby, drank the blood. And there's other things they do to children I ain't going to talk about. Now see, the devil imitates everything that God does. The only difference is his is defiled. Because he's defiled. It's a lie. Because he's a liar. He has no truth in him. He has never had truth in him. He's a proverbial liar. He's a thief, and many people wind up in a place that they should never go,
because they won't listen. And you see a lot of blacks out there, and I'm going to tell you, blacks, you need to get over this I hate whites thing. Because as Christians, we don't hate anybody. You're not going to get into heaven by hating white people. God created all people, and there's all sorts, all kinds of them. Because God loves variety. Look at the birds of the air, look at the animals he's created. There's a lot of them that are extinct that you can't even see anymore. God is a God of creation, he's a God of love, he's a God of variety as far as his creation. But he's not a God of variety of how to get saved and come to him. There's one way, through his Son and the shedding of the blood. Because it's by the blood. The blood was the very thing used, the one component for the atonement. And so when Christ got on the cross, now, we're going to talk about it is finished, the three words that we thank God for. Our sinful state, it is finished. Our separation from God, it is finished. The power of darkness over us, it is finished. The death in the grave, it is finished. It is finished, Christians. When Christ said on the cross, it is finished, it was finished at that moment. Now see, James 1:15 talks about that phrase, but this is what he says. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So while our sinful state, it is finished, our separation from God, it is finished, the power of darkness over us is finished, death in the grave is going to be finished, yet sin in the world today, when humans are consuming sin and carrying it out, when you get that done, it will bring forth death. You will go to hell. Because I do a lot of research online, and it don't take much research to find what a lot of the blacks are doing, both men and women. And there's plenty of examples of them killing young, innocent, white boys and girls. And the ones who are stealing out of the stores, there's a lot of black faces there. Because they've been convinced that it's okay. Stealing is a sin. Lying is a sin. And I don't care if you have a black pastor, the church that says, yeah, it's okay to do it. He's telling you a lie because he'll be judged too. There will be priests, preachers, apostles. There will be a pile of people in hell. John 19:26-27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, now this is him on the cross, he's staring down, and the disciple standing by, which is John, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. Because see, he didn't say mother. He said, woman. because she was just the vessel. Now, see, if you're on, I was at my mother's when she died in bed. She was my mother. I wouldn't have called her woman. She's my mother. But see, Mary knew this. She also knew what her son was like because she knew what the angel told her. She also raised him from a baby. And from a baby going forth, there was something different. She would watch him, and you can tell. Now, this is my opinion. Through revelation and stuff, do you think Jesus did his first miracle when it was in front of people? Give me a break. No way. He would have done things naturally. And things would have occurred that she would see him do. Because he's being raised. But he was always cognizant of his father. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was said a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop. And put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day. Now see, these are religious Jews here. You got to take care of it. You're responsible for the guy that died on the cross. And the Jews did. And Paul even talks about it. The Jews killed the Son of God. But see, the thing of it is, he came to die on that cross. If Pilate and the others would have let him go, that would have ruined redemption for all of mankind. It wasn't going to happen. He had to go to that cross. And even though the Jews were instrumental in it, because they were the ones that telling him, kill him. Yet the Lord said, forgive them. He had to go to the cross. God does not have animosity at the Jews. And that's because of Abraham and where they go back to. But he's not going to put up with their sin. And there is only one Savior between God and man, and that's the Son of God, Yeshua, Jesus. And in due time, the house of Israel will be saved. In verse 33, when they came to Jesus and saw that he is dead already, they break not his legs, which is one way of ensuring that they die. And of course, John writes, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. These are all fulfillment of scriptures. But see, it is finished because he was obedient to the death of the cross. And when you get into Revelation 12:11, speaking to the Christians, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, that's believing on Yeshua, and the redemption. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Whosoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before the Father and his angels. Whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father and his angels. And then the other is, they loved not their lives unto the death. Whosoever loses their life for my sake in the gospel shall find it. For he that saveth his life shall lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it, and the gospel. So, we're entering into that time. And I can tell you, there's Christians that are losing their life because they're Christians and believe in Yahshua. And so they are part of the martyrs coming out. And Revelation 12:11 is the guidance for that. That's what I call the marching orders. Just one of many that I've talked about. And so today you can thank God. Thank God Almighty that Yahshua came. And died on the cross for your sins. You can thank God. So if you haven't availed yourself of that, you need to repent. John chapter 1, he went to his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name, which were born not by the power of the flesh, but by the power of the Spirit. No, that were not born by the Spirit, but by the born by the flesh, but by the power of the Spirit. Then John 3, he follows that up by saying, you must be born again to the Spirit. 1 John 1 says, you have to walk in the light as he is in the light. You can read all these for yourself. Romans 3-7 talks about confession of sin, which is something we need to do. The Lord says about taking up your cross and following him. These are things you need to consider. The Lord spoke to the Laodicean church. He stood at the door and knocked. And if they hear and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. That's how you receive him. You receive him into your spirit, into your heart, into your soul, and say, I believe. And you walk in an obedient manner in the light as Christ is in the light. And you will find eternal life. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, today. Thank you for all those that hear it when they do. Bless them, Lord. Undertake, open up their eyes and their hearts. Save their souls. Bless them and watch over them. Keep them. Guide them and keep them safe and their families. Protect them and bless them in Jesus' name. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.